You glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the 6 Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program. The Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move. and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wiskane on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's P-A-Y-P-A-L.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Yeah.
really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, darling, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels with you, Sister Emily, Jim, her dad, and small me with a small nose.
Okay. So how you doing this afternoon, Emily?
Trying to be good.
All righty. Tonight, are you ready for a good program tonight?
Yeah, as long as my phone holds out and doesn't die out on me.
All right. Well, I'll give you at least an outline of what we are going to do, and just in case you do fall out, well, you'll have an idea of what we're expecting tonight. We're still talking about angels, the regular Joe type, and also their angel, which means guardian angels, we're going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, in the process of that, in the middle of that, we'll be having you doing the song and poem. Do she get the good buzzer or bad buzzer? And though, just in case, for those who may have PTSD and associated disorders, we may be using sound effects, especially if she gets the wrong buzzer, that may bring up situations that may affect that, so just be warned of that. And then, of course, then after our stint and study on angels, then we go into Ruth's Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruthie?
And we're talking about earthquakes, which is in diverse places. I'll give you that much. That's all over. So get ready. The Lord's going to tell you something.
Oh, so Ruth's going to talk about the earthquake we had here in Ashtabula.
If you want. I remember the day. I mean, I can tell you all about how the earth shook. I was sitting in the chair in the front room, and I was freaking out. So I'll tell you more.
All right. So we might hear about that tonight. All right. So we're talking about earthquakes tonight, which will be very interesting in Bible prophecy. What's that got to do with Bible prophecy, earthquakes? And then after that, of course, then we get into our open mic session with our question of the day, which will be very interesting tonight. So be ready for that. And as everybody knows, our question of the day neither has a wrong nor right answer. It's based upon your own opinion. And then after that, we're going to close in a word of prayer. And then, of course, our closing song with Red Sylvine, which everybody always enjoys. All right. So are you guys ready for a good program?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay, so here we go. Get out your pad and pencil or your little note taker, whatever it takes, and get here we go.
For those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you were an angel, what duty would you do for God? If you were an angel, what duty would you do for God? But right now, we're going to get into our topic of angels and our subheading of regular Joe angels. This is part 8, along with their angels. Again, we're going to be talking about regular Joe angels, part 8, as well as their angels. Amen. And our first scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verses 7 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Here we find Michael, which is the archangel Michael, and his angels, meaning the angels of heaven, General Joe angels, are fighting against Satan and his angels. So those are Satan's angels. And, they, of course, Michael and the archangel and those win. And Satan and his angels get booted out of heaven. Amen. Of course, this being a prophecy, we'll leave that to Ruthie. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 14. Verses 6 to 20, Revelation 14, verses 6 to 20. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest and the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Now, if you've been listening to Ruth's Bible Prophecy for any length of time, you'll know what these angels are doing. But mainly, they're giving a message, each minus the one who had the sharp sickle, who was supposed to thrust in his sickle. So mainly, their job is to give a message. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, and for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.
And here we find the introduction of the seven angels that have the seven vials or bowls, as Ruth has given us in Bible prophecy before. And so we find the introduction to those seven angels here. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 to 21. Revelation 16, verses 1 through 21. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Or they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
And here we find the seven angels actually pouring out their vials, which goes to show that they are instrumental in God's judgment, is part of their work. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 18. Revelation 17, verses 1 to 18. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have selected or received till kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, where God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
And as we see, the angel here, his job is to bring the message, John, about what we now know here is Mystery Babylon the Great, and he's telling her him who this is. But we now, those who studied Bible prophecy and have studied with Ruthie on Bible prophecy, we find that this is nothing more than the Catholic Church, because it sits on seven hills. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context before Emily has to guess our message in song and poem is found in Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 to 24. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 to 24. All right, Ruthie, get a big swig of coffee. Take us there.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these kings which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heathen, or heaven, excuse me, and rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall thou, that great city Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth.
And here we find two angels, the one bringing a message and the other carrying out a judgment by throwing a millstone or a great stone into the sea. So what do we find so far in this beginning part? We find angels bringing judgment. We find angels bringing a message. And that's their duties. Amen. So, with that, it's that time for Emily to take the mic and be able to tell us if she could tell us the message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
tragedy. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunity for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me. And through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe, for comfort in the time of sorrow, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in a time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in a time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
My soul is ripped with riot, incited by my wicked diet. We are what we eat, said the wise old man. And Lord, if that's true, then I'm a garbage can. I want to rise on judgment day, it's plain, but at my present weight, I'll need a crane. So grant me the strength that I may bear witness to the president's council on physical fitness, and an oleo margin on matter, for the road to hell is spread with butter. And cream is cursed, and cake is awful, and Satan is hiding in every waffle. Beelzebub is a chocolate drop, and Lucifer is a lollipop. Give me this day my daily slice, but cut it thin and toast it twice. I pray each night with heavy prayers, deliver me from chocolate eclairs. And when my days of trial are done, and my war with malted milks is won, let me stand so proud with the saints in heaven in a shining robe, size 37. I could do it, Lord, if you show to me the virtues of lettuce and celery. If you'll teach me the evil of mayonnaise, the sinfulness of hollandaise, and pasta in milanaise, and potatoes a la linanaise, and crisp fried chicken from the south, Lord, if you love me, shut my mouth.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the message in that song and poem is talking to prayer.
Well, this time you're 100% correct. That's exactly what it's talking about, is prayer. Definitely, especially when you have a habit of the munchies. Amen.
Well, I guess the buzzer, God gave the buzzer, it's answered its prayer, so it didn't get shot or blown up this week. Daggone it.
That's for sure, for sure. Amen, amen, amen. And you got a little grace from going to the woodshed, too. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Now that we're back, I'd like to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you was an angel, what duty would you like to perform for God? If you was an angel, what duty would you like to perform for God? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our topic of angels and our subheading of regular Joe angels, as well as those of those that are called their angels. We're going to get into that. And our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 to 21. Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 to 21. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wronged miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
And here we find first angel tells John not to bow down to him, basically, to worship God only. And the second one we find is the angel standing in the sun and telling all the fowl to come to the great supper of God. Amen. And we've heard Ruthie describing this in her Bible prophecy, so we know what this is about, those who've listened to her Bible prophecy. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Ready. Okay. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should receive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
And as we read last week, this angel that has the control of the bottomless pit, so to speak, his job is to do that. He also had, he's the king over those locusts in the plague there. His name was Abaddon, so we find that this angel is going to take old Slewfoot, Satan, bind him up and put him in the bottomless pit, good place for him. And put him in there. Amen. All right. Our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 8 to 23. Revelation chapter 21, verses 8 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, had a golden reed, to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. Sorry. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it for the glory of God to lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Oh. And as you notice, when he was measuring, he had the measure of 144 cubits, or the measure of a man, as he said, of the angel. So we get a measure of an angel here. So we got that, but it also gave the measures of the city, etc. And then we had who gave him this information was one of the seven angels who had the last seven bowls or vials with the last seven plagues. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 to 21. Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 to 21. All right, Rose, take us there.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things. And says he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do this commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And he which justifieth these things saith, surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
And you notice here, the angel was sent by God to give John all this information, and John fell down and was ready to worship the angel, and the angel said, nope, don't do it. You worship God only. Amen. And our last scripture reference for the day is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. All right, Ruthie, take a good swig of coffee and take us there.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life whole or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It's better for thee to venture into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
You notice here, he says that their angels behold the face of the Father. Well, that's true of everybody. Every person has their angel, which is a guardian angel here. So that's what we find. So what did we find all night tonight? We found there were messenger angels who were bringing a message. We found angels that were used to bring judgment. And then, of course, as we finally found, the guardian angels for each and every one of us. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you was an angel, what duty would you perform for God? If you were an angel, what duty would you want to perform for God? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and to pay a few bills, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Colliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are here. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Having war and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Light. loved ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame
is darkened. Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Is earthquakes. In this lesson, we are seriously discussing the subject of earthquakes in the light of fulfilled Bible prophecy as one of the prophetic signs of our times. The reasons Christians are urged to observe the prophetic signs relative to Christ's second coming is because Jesus Christ called the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day hypocrites for not being able to discern the signs of their times. Now here's your scripture. The Philistines also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him, Christ, that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Matthew 16, 1 through 3 in your King James Version Bible. There's another scripture. And he, Christ, said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Luke 12:54-56. So, in the face of these two portions of Scripture, it is perfectly correct for the man and woman who are looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ to be constantly observing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. That's what we are doing. We are discerning the signs of our times. With earthquakes becoming so much more frequent, possessing greater intensity, with some of them killing as many as 12,000 people, as do the earthquake in Morocco in March of 1960, then it's high time we recognize them as one of the signs of our times. Every day, minor quakes are occurring somewhere in the world, an estimated 1 million annually. However, 95% are too faint or too far from population centers to be detected without very sensitive seismographs. The worst earthquake disaster ever to strike this earth was in 1556 at Shanxi, China, when 830,000 people lost their lives. Naturally, there is widespread speculation among the scientists as to the cause and cure for earthquakes. It is even vaguely theorized among some that the day will come when mankind will be able to actually prevent earthquakes. Personally, I cannot reckon that with the Bible. Some scientists have conjectured that the strains along an established fault could be eased with just the right kind of nuclear explosions set off at key positions. Again, this is pure guesswork. By doing this, the scientists believe the Earth's foundations, which are under stress and strain, could be relieved of this immense pressure, and the immediate outcome would be a lessening of subterranean pressures and increasing weights, which in turn would virtually eliminate earthquakes once and for all time. Earthquakes have been detected everywhere except in Antarctica, occur more frequently in some areas than in others, particularly in the ring around the Pacific Ocean and in the belt across Asia and southern Europe. Tremors occur more often in the summer than in the winter, but never follow any predicted pattern. But may I suggest we do not go off immediately on one of these scientific explorations, but let's look this problem of earthquakes squarely in the eye, and let's do so in the light of what the Bible has to say about the whole issue of earthquakes, especially in the light of an increase of them in these last days. First of all, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he predicted earthquakes would be a part of the prophetic pattern of end-time happenings. Jesus Christ saw earthquakes as a prophetic signboard. We read this in the book of Matthew. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in divers many places. Matthew 24:7, KJV. Jesus Christ was able to tell the people of his day there would be a continuation of earthquakes because naturally, having created the earth, John 1:1-3, he understood the geological formation of the earth structure, and because of a shifting of the rock formations in the bowels of the earth, the only result to expect would be an increase in earthquakes. When the Godhead made the mountains, they also created a place for the seven seas. A recess or basin had to be scooped out to hold the water regarding the seas, the Bible says, and break up for it the seas, my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Job 38:10-11, of course, in King James Version Bible. In rearranging the earth's surface and creating a place for the oceans and seas, giant basins were prepared to hold the water, and in so doing, naturally the dirt and rock had to be relocated to elsewhere. We call these places mountains. Now, before the mountains were brought forth, Psalm 90:2, meaning to say, there existed a time on the earth before the mountains were created. Then, when they were brought forth, the word tells us. Here's your scripture. Who hath measured the waters, seas, in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Isaiah 40:12. In other words, Isaiah tells us when God made the place for the seven seas, he also created the mountains, and those mountains and hills are beautifully balanced. In fact, this whole earth is one masterpiece of excellent creation. Everything about the earth is a pattern of divine harmony. Mankind still marvels at the wonder of creation. At the time God created the seas and the mountains, scooping out basins to hold the water and piling up the excess rock, the Bible tells us he set the inner regions of the earth on fire. Scripture, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 32:22, KJV. That verse of Scripture tells us God started a continuous fire deep down inside the inner regions of the earth, and this unslackened fire is a consuming fire. Eventually, this raging fire will successfully burn from the inside out and destroy the outer crusts of the earth's surface. In the meantime, this raging inferno deep down inside the earth is also burning and destroying the very foundations of the mountains. I find very few people realize this planet is on fire. Naturally, with this continual burning going on deep down inside the earth at the same time destroying the foundations of the mountains, which have a vast tonnage of weight. These weakened mountain foundations are constantly shifting their positions inside the earth, with the only result for the top side of the earth being a continuation of earthquakes, caused by a shifting of the weight of these mighty mountains and resettling of their vast weights on new temporary foundations. The shifting of the mountains causes the faults in the earth's surface. Therefore, as a tireless student of the Bible and its many explanations relative to this earth's existence, I have made it part of my extensive studies to delve into the scientific aspects of the creation of this earth and invariably find that the Bible always has the authoritative answer if we only search diligently. Some of the scientists come along and suggest we could do away or even limit earthquakes, slow down the process which causes them if we would use a few nuclear explosions deep underground. If anything, this would increase earthquakes. Naturally, people are intrigued by their scientific suggestions and say, aren't the scientists smart to be able to understand the structure of the earth and know what to do relative to earthquakes? Regardless of what the scientists theorize, it's not going to do any good to set off nuclear explosions at key points below the earth's surface because the fire, which God originally set ablaze in the lower regions of the earth, is constantly eating away at the mountain's foundations. And the time will come, the Bible says, when giant portions of the earth's surface will break off and slip into the seas and oceans. We'll read the scripture for that a little later. The increase of earthquakes is one of the signs of the times which Jesus Christ gave to the disciples in his day. He told them earthquakes would increase in size and intensity, eventually becoming a major source of worry and widespread havoc to the people in the last days. This is borne out in the fact that almost every issue of the daily newspaper reports on earthquakes. Okay, therefore, as we observe the destruction caused by giant earthquakes today, killing thousands of people and leaving as many missing, with multiplied billions of dollars in damage heaped upon unsuspecting mankind, let's face it, my dear friends, the fire in the bowels of the earth is taking its terrific toll because the foundations of the mountains are being weakened and many of them are giving away, causing earthquakes. We're nearing the end of this age. The soon second coming of Jesus Christ is getting near. Yay, praise the Lord. The anxious day for the homegoing of God's people is almost upon this present civilization. We're being warned through the prophetic sign, earthquakes, the end of this age is upon us. The signs of our times reveal Jesus Christ was absolutely correct when he told his disciples, and there shall be earthquakes in divers many places. Matthew 24:7 in your KJV Bible. 1900 years after Jesus Christ, we're seeing his prophetic prediction coming to pass. Earthquakes are increasing, and the Bible tells us they will continue to increase right up to the time when Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon, at which time a giant earthquake will herald his revelation. Scripture, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave or separate in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. That's Zechariah 14:4 KJV. Meaning to say, when Christ comes back to the earth and defeats the armies of this world, gathered together under the personal direction of Satan's Antichrist, the earth is to be shaken by a big earthquake, that which will be the granddaddy of all earthquakes. The earthquake at that time will be of such incredible proportions that special significance is given to it in the book of Revelation. Please read about this last great earthquake as described by the Apostle John. And the seventh-day angel poured out his vial into the air, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, and so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city Jerusalem was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Revelation 16, verses 17 through 20 in your KJV Bible. Please note the appalling devastation of this last great earthquake. The Bible says not only will the city of Jerusalem be split open, divided when Christ comes back to the earth, but the cities of the nations fell. Can you mind grasp the ghastly significance of that earthquake? I mean, all these big, beautiful cities which are being expanded, those great, giant skyscraper office buildings and apartment buildings packed and jammed with human beings are all going to fall flat when that last great earthquake strikes. That earthquake will be of such tremendous magnitude that every island fled away. Can you imagine every island breaking loose from the earth's surface and slipping into the seas? This may sound fantastic to you, but the Bible says it is still in the future, and all of that universal chaos must come to pass exactly as it is written. Now, would you look at something else which is to happen at the same time as the islands vanish into the seas? And the mountains were not found. Revelation 16:20, KJV. The giant mountain ranges which were formed when God prepared the places in which he put the waters that covered the earth, as recorded in Genesis 1:9, those mountains are to topple over, that is, to go crashing down through the crust of the earth's surface. That's what the Bible says, and the mountains were not found. Revelation 16:20, KJV. The reason for this inevitable calamity, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 32:22. That roaring fire which God set ablaze in the bowels of the earth in the early morning of creation is at last to consume the earth's crust, the exterior portion. The earth at the second coming of Jesus Christ will then experience the most awesome earthquake since men were upon the earth. That's Revelation 16:18 in KJV. Because the foundations of the mountains have been eaten away and weakened by fire, which God started in the earth's basement centuries ago, those mountains will go crashing down into the cavernous depths of the earth, much like an elevator crashes down an elevator shaft when the cable breaks. Tremendous days of universal chaos are ahead for people who will be on the earth at that time. I feel a sacred responsibility to warn people to get themselves housed in the ark of God's love, Jesus Christ, and escape all these calamities which are coming on the earth. With this in mind, you can see why Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew, and there shall be earthquakes in many places. Earthquakes are part of the signs of our times. Earthquakes are to continue until such time as the last and final earthquake takes place at the personal return of Jesus Christ to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon. But by way of warning you, my dear listeners, why should you take chances with eternity and be here on the earth during such chaotic days as described in the book of Revelation, when it is so easy to accept God's way of salvation, be ready to leave this sin-cursed earth when Christ comes? Please remember, there are only two kinds of people on the earth, saved and unsaved. That is, those who are born again and on their way to heaven, and those who have never accepted Christ and are on their way to hell, which are you. Jesus Christ came down to this earth and lived 33 years, during which time he never once did anything wrong, always did that which was good. He opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped deaf ears, made straight the crooked limbs, and then gentle was a benefactor to all with whom he came in contact. But yet, evil men chased him up one of the little hills of Asia Minor and nailed the Son of God to the old rugged cross, and Jesus died there with five major wounds in his body for the souls of lost mankind. He triumphantly rose from the tomb after 3 days, and during the ensuing 40 days, more than 500 people on 12 different occasions saw him resurrected from the tomb, giving absolute proof that he was the Son of God, the one able to overcome death in the grave. Today, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God up in the third heaven as our advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. Friends, Jesus Christ died for sinners. If perchance you are unsaved and have never confessed yourself a sinner and accepted him as your own personal Savior, why don't you do that today, right now? Just as you are sure to this lesson, earthquakes, you're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ to give accounting of your life. Will you stand before him as a forgiven sinner or as one who never took time or didn't think it necessary to accept him? Time is short. We're living in the last hours of grace. Today is the day of salvation. Christ is the Lamb of God. Will you accept him and be saved today? In his kind providence, he's allowing you to see the signs of our times, telling you that his second coming is getting near. An increase in earthquakes is just one of those signs. And the next lesson will be prepared for the devil.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for all that great information about earthquakes. Amen. But now we're going to pause to hear about a little bit of our station ID and a little bit about the great programming here to be found at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you were an angel, what duty would you like to perform for God? If you were an angel, what duty would you like to perform for God? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Of course, we always have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. So it's pretty crowded. You just don't see them, but, you know, they're there. Then we got you, Jim, you know, Em's dad, and Uncle Sandy with me.
All right. Well, Sandy, I would like to see if you want to answer our question of the day.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. Then what's the question of the day?
Question of the day. If you were an angel, which duty would you like to perform for God?
Well, I'd love to perform a lot of things for God. I try to suppose if I can form anything for God, I'd try to let me think here. So I'd probably form something good, like trying to heal the sick.
So something like a messenger angel or a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any questions or comments on the material that we presented tonight?
No, I just got on.
Ah. Okay. Well, we do want to remind everybody that we do want to remind everybody next Thursday night here, Sandy is going to be here. He's going to be here doing a handyman-type show, letting you know about the different things that around the house or whatever that you or yard that you'd like to
do work on, that kind of thing. And you can ask your handyman type questions to him, and he'll answer them. And we're going to, due to the fact that it is the Jumbo Braille program, and it has to do with some disabilities, I've got a couple of disabled type questions about accessibility type questions. So we're going to see how he does with that. So just be ready for some good questions, and you get your answers from him. So I have your questions ready next Thursday, right on the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m., right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And, of course, we're going to catch everybody on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern. And now, Ruth, it's your turn.
I think I'd like to protect people, you know, that people like, you know, when they get into an accident, you know, you could see if you could prevent that happening, like a guardian. Like, I told you I had an experience with an angel. If you guys want me to tell you about it.
All right. So you'd like to be a guardian angel.
I can tell you guys about my angel experience.
That's all right. We've heard it before.
Yeah. I'll tell Sandy later. I don't know if he's heard it, so we'll tell him later.
Okay.
All right.
Now, for me, I would have to say I'd rather be a messenger angel, where the angel brings a message like Gabriel did. God gives him a message and brings it to the people. That's what I'd say. If God wanted me to do something, I'd have to be a messenger angel.
I think you make a good one at that, like, you know, how Gabriel came to Mary and all that.
Yeah. So that'd be my thing. All right. So what we're going to do, since we are pretty much right at the end of our program, Ruth, we're going to get you to give us a closing prayer. Then we're going to close out with a Red Sylvine song and say good night to everybody.
Well, Lord, we as Christians are glad to see that you're coming with the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. And I believe you could be coming any second with all the prophecies being fulfilled. There's only very few, like the Jewish temple has to be rebuilt. So I know, Lord, you're coming. So I'm excited. I'm getting ready to run. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, and just want to constantly work for you. And just hope everybody enjoyed tonight. We love you so much, precious. Amen.
Amen. All right, and we will catch everybody, like I said, on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m., and we're going to slip out of here with this Red Soul Mind song. Hope everybody enjoys. God bless.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck, and things didn't work out. I was down on my luck. Got tired of roaming and bumming around, so I started thumbing back east toward my hometown. Made a lot of miles the first 2 days, and I figured I'd be home in a week if my luck held out this way. But the third night, I got stranded way out of town at a cold, lonely crossroads. Rain was pouring down. I was hungry and freezing, done caught a chill, when the lights of a big semi topped the hill. Lord, I sure was glad to hear them air brakes come on. And I climbed in that cab where I knew it'd be warm. At the wheel sat a big man. He weighed about 210. He stuck out his hand and said with a grin, "Big Joe's the name." I told him mine. And he said, "The name of my rig is Phantom 309. I asked him why he called his rig such a name. He said, "Son, this old Mac can put them all to shame. There ain't a driver or a rig running any line that's seen nothing but taillights from Phantom 309. Well, we rode and talked the better part of the night when the lights of a truck stop came in sight. He said, "I'm sorry, son, this is as far as you go, because I gotta make a turn just on up the road." Well, he tossed me a dime as he pulled her in low and said, "Have yourself a hot cup on old Big Joe." When Joe and his rig roared out in the night, in nothing flat, he was clean out of sight. Well, I went inside and ordered me a cup, told the waiter Big Joe was setting me up. Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. It got deathly quiet, and the waiter's face turned kind of white. Well, did I say something wrong? I said with a halfway grin. He said, no, this happens every now and then. Every driver in here knows Big Joe. But son, let me tell you what happened about 10 years ago. At the crossroads tonight where you flagged him down, there was a busload of kids coming from town. And they were right in the middle when Big Joe topped the hill. It could have been slaughter, but he turned his wheels. Well, Joe lost control, went into a skid, and gave his life to save that bunch of kids. And there at that crossroads was the end of life for Big Joe and Phantom 309. But every now and then, some hiker will come by, and like you, Big Joe will give them a ride. Here, have another cup, and forget about the time. Keep it as a souvenir from Big Joe and Phantom 309.